go to 2 Corinthians 12. We had good meetings in Florida, and I think the Lord gave me more liberty in studying than I've ever had before when I prepared a message while I was there, and liberty preaching as well, but it was just extra liberty, it seemed like, preparing that message. So the title of it is The Story of a Sinner Saved, so if you get an opportunity to listen. 2 Corinthians 12, we're going to look at just two verses. Paul says in verse 11, I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. And here's why. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders, in mighty deeds. Now the desire of God's saints is to hear Christ and Him crucified preached in every message. And that's the desire of Christ's preacher. We want to hear how sinners like us can be just with God. And the only way that can be is God sending His own Son and satisfying His own justice, fulfilling the law, His own law Himself, for His people. That's how God can be just and justifier. That's how sinners like us can be just with God. Now that's the message we want to hear. That's the message that is our food. We come here to be fed and to be grown by our Lord, and that's the message whereby we do so. But there are certain passages we come to as we study the Scriptures that teach us something that is our responsibility, and that it's our responsibility for a very needful reason. That tonight our text teaches us our responsibility in commending the commendable. Commending the commendable. Paul said there, you ought to have commended me. And he shows there why he was commendable. And that's a responsibility of believers, commending the commendable. And the reason that's so important is so the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ can continue with us. We're going to see here how this was one of the problems that allowed the false preachers to enter into Corinth. It was because the Corinthians, when Paul had need of them defending him before these false preachers, they didn't do it. They didn't do it. And so these false preachers were able to come in and be received as true ministers, and they began to turn men away with a false gospel. Something as simple as commending the minister of Christ, a failure to do something that simple allowed these false preachers to come in and turn the church. Now, this is what I want to show you tonight. It's needful for believers to commend faithful pastors, especially before those who would bring reproach upon them, so that false preachers or false brethren are not able to enter and the gospel cease to be preached. That's why it's important to give them no foothold. And that's why it's needful to commend Christ's minister. Now this is so of all brethren in Christ. We ought to commend all our brethren in Christ. When they need defending, somebody slandering them, we ought to step in and commend them and defend them. But since our text focuses on the minister, we're going to focus on Christ's preacher. Now first of all, Christ's true preacher has no desire to glory in himself or to be gloried in. Paul says there in verse 11, I'm become a fool in glorying. Now, we saw that when Paul gloried, he gloried only in the total inability of his flesh. He said, look back up there, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 18. He says, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. But look at verse 30. Here's how Paul gloried after the flesh. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. We saw that meant his total inability in his flesh. That's what he's talking about. And the reason Paul gloried in his total inability is because he gloried in Christ, his strength. Look at back up there, chapter 12, verse 9. Christ said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You're made to see my strength in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. All those things he listed up there in chapter 11. That he suffered. All those different things. That's what he's talking about. That's what I'm going to glory in. Because when I'm weak in my flesh, then am I strong in the Lord. So that's all Paul gloried in. Christ is the power and the wisdom of God for his people. Isaiah 40:29 says, he giveth power to the faint. Our Lord gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. When we think about Christ, our strength, Christ is the strength of our righteousness. He's our only righteousness. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Christ is the strength of our holiness. Both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. That would only be said of somebody who Christ had made holy. That's the only reason he wouldn't be ashamed to call us brethren. He made us holy. Christ is the strength of our life. We had no life before Christ entered in. He said, I am the life. And the strength of our spiritual life that we now have as believers is Christ. Christ is the strength of resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection. From beginning to end, Christ is all. He's all our strength. He's the strength of our faith, the author and finisher of our faith. So everything, without him, we can do nothing. We have all strength in Christ, but only in him. But even though Paul only gloried in Christ, his strength, even though that's the only one he was glorying in, to show this, he had to speak of himself more than he wanted to speak of himself. To show that he was totally weak, he had to give that long list of all the ways that he was mistreated and all the necessities he fell into and the persecution and the reproach. And he didn't even want to talk about himself that much. But he did it to show that he gloried in a way totally opposite those false preachers. They were glorying in the fact they were Hebrews and Israelites and Jews and their gift of speaking and all these things. Paul gloried in the fact that he was weak and that he came and his speech was pathetic. And he was with them in fear and trembling and all these persecutions, all these things that showed his utter weakness because he gloried in Christ, his strength. And so because he had to say those things about himself, he said, I've become a fool in glorying. God's preacher knows he's sent to glory in the Lord only. The Lord said, I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. The Lord said, everyone that's called by my name, I have created him for my glory. That means everybody that's saved, everybody that's created anew, in righteousness and holiness, God created them for his glory. So he's not going to give that glory to anybody else. He's the only one that saves. He's the only one that's going to have the glory for saving. And so the charge he gives to his preacher is this, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it's written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, when a believer hears his pastor, and first of all, he faithfully preaches Christ according to the Scriptures, giving all the glory to Christ and none to man. And secondly, he lives his life giving Christ all the glory and himself none. When a man hears such a man preach and behold such a man, the way he conducts himself, then he's beholding a faithful minister of Christ. That's somebody Christ has made faithful. And so the Corinthians had every reason to commend Paul. Paul wasn't a man looking for commendation. And he was looking for Christ to get all the honor and glory. That's why they should have commended Paul. And it's the responsibility of the believer to commend such a pastor. Look here now at verse 11. He said, I'm become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me, made it so I had to do this, for I ought to have been commended of you. Now remember, and this is so important when we read a passage of Scripture like this, where does the Scripture come from? It's God-breathed. This is Christ, through the Holy Spirit, telling Paul what to write. So this is Paul, this is Christ saying to the Corinthians, Paul ought to have been commended of you. This is Christ saying this. And this is Christ telling you and I, we ought to commend his faithful ministers. One, why is that important? Well, one, it's because God's word tells us to. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. And then Galatians 6:6 says, let him that's taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now, both of those verses apply primarily to monetary support, is what both those apply to. But it includes giving all good things, which includes giving thanks, which includes commending them. It includes all those things. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and look at verse 12. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. I truly, and I'm saying this from the bottom of my heart, I truly love my pastor. And I tell him often. I tell him, I love you. I tell him that. I talk to Brother Marvin almost weekly. And I tell him a lot, I love you. He tells me that, I love you. I esteem him very highly for his work's sake. I wish I knew when I was sitting under him what I know now. Because now I know how much labor goes into finding a message and preparing a message and delivering that message. So I hold him, I highly esteem him in love for his work's sake. You know, when a preacher's preparing and all those things, he has the same sin and the same obstacles that he's trying to overcome as you and I have. He has the same responsibilities with his family as you and I have. And he has the care of the brethren to whom he preaches. So I esteem him very highly in love for his work's sake. And then two, here's another reason commendation of a faithful pastor is important. It's because the way we honor our pastor is how we honor Christ and how we honor God our Father. When Christ sent out his apostles to preach, he said, "He that receiveth you receiveth me." He said this to him as he's sending his apostles out to preach. He said, "He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." So by divine election, by blood redemption, and by the new birth, we are inseparably one with God our Father in Christ Jesus. Inseparably one. Christ said, "I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me," and get this, "and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me." And so Christ said there, when you receive one of my ministers, you're receiving me. So that tells me if I fail to honor, to highly esteem, if I fail to commend my pastor, I'm failing to do so to Christ and to God my Father. So that's important. It makes it important. Three, another reason, our commendation of Christ's minister shows what we think of the gospel of Christ. Because that's, if he's a true minister of Christ, that's what he's preaching, the gospel of Christ. Paul said in that first letter, he said, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." You know, when somebody thanks me for preaching a message, the conversation always immediately turns to Christ. You know, we're not sitting there bragging on the preacher. We bragging on Christ, who gave the message, who blessed it to their heart, and who was the whole subject of the message. That's what we're talking about, you know. And when I've told you all this, when I was younger, my pastor was my grandfather, and I say that because, you know, that says I ought to have not been afraid of him or anything. He's my grandfather, you know, but I didn't thank him ever when I was lost. I never thanked him for the message because I was afraid he was going to start talking about Christ and it was going to reveal that I didn't know Christ and I was lost. So when I see folks, and y'all are good about this, I'm not talking about you, but when I'm at places and I see folks that can hear the gospel and just totally ignore the pastor and walk past him and not say thank you or not anything, it truly, not only does it make me think it's rude, but two, it makes me think, what do they even think of the gospel? What does the gospel mean to them? You know, when if a physician came bringing you the medicine you needed and he cured your father of a deadly disease, even though you know God's the one who did it, wouldn't you? You thank the physician, you know? Let me go to this fourth thing. By not esteeming, by not being thankful, by not commending my pastor, I can cause my pastor to be cast down. And it's not just because he doesn't want to be thanked or he wants to be thanked. It's because he's fearful that the love of God is not in the heart of those to whom he's ministering. That's what makes you downcast. Now, there's ultra-pious people you'll run into, and they'll say, well, you know, they excuse themselves from ever thanking a pastor or for ever commending a pastor because they say, we don't want to puff him up. We're trying to keep him humble. Well, hear this and remember this. You and I are not sovereign. We can't keep ourselves humble, much less anybody else. We can't do that. Christ is the only one who can do that. We saw that in the last passage we looked at up there where Paul said, lest I be exalted above measure, Christ gave me a thorn in the flesh. He's the only one that can keep his people humble. We can't do it. But by being ungrateful and by not commending, like if somebody's talking about a pastor and I don't commend him and come to his defense, that can cause my pastor to be very cast down that I didn't commend him when I could have. You know, you think about this, and I'm saying this to you because if you go to conferences or visiting preacher comes here, I want you to thank that preacher. I want you to say something to let him know you appreciate the fact he labored to bring that message. You think about it this way. What if you worked some long hours and you obtained a gift that you brought to somebody that you love dearly? And they opened up the gift and they got up and walked right past you and walked out and didn't say a word to you. That helps us understand what it feels like. But here's the fifth reason. And this reason right here is why it's so very important. Above all that we just said, this is why it's so very important. It was the Corinthians' failure to commend Paul that gave those false preachers a foothold in that Corinthian church. That failure to commend Paul. Paul repeated this throughout the letter. He said, I should have been commended of you. That's not the first time he said that in this letter. Now, here's a couple of things that it did, and I'm going to apply this to us. After hearing the false preachers slander Paul, they heard these false preachers slander Paul by the Corinthians not commending him. By the Corinthians not coming to his defense and commending Paul as being a faithful minister of Christ, as being an apostle of Christ, as talking about these signs and wonders that they had seen him work. By not commending Paul to those that were slandering him, their silence said to those false preachers that they agreed with them. If somebody's running down my pastor and I don't step in and commend my pastor, my silence is going to say to that person that I agree with them. And so what that did was that showed these false preachers where it was that they needed to appeal to those Corinthians. At whatever point they detected and they thought that the Corinthian had a problem with Paul and they were critical of Paul in one little area, that's right where the false preacher would appeal to. And get them all buttered up, you know. And then they start hearing the false preacher and they hear this false gospel and they're turned away. Another thing is this. Those older in the faith, by them not commending Paul, it made those who are younger in the faith question whether Paul was a true apostle. It made them question whether or not these false preachers were right, and maybe Paul was not an apostle. If he was an apostle, surely this older brother who's been in the Gospels so much longer than me, surely he would have spoken up for Paul. See what I'm saying? If an older believer... You always have younger believers looking at you. And if you don't step in and commend a brother or sister or a faithful pastor when somebody's slandering them, you make that younger believer think, well, maybe what they're saying is so. Or worse, if you're ever critical, you make that younger believer be critical too. And then there's one more thing they did by this. By not commending Paul, it gave credit to the false preacher. It gave credit to the false preacher. So just simply not commending Paul, they allowed these false preachers to come in, and what it did was it turned them against Paul, turned them against Christ, turned them against Christ's gospel. That's the three things that happened. That's why commendation is very important. That's why it's very important. And this is why Paul had to commend himself. What Paul's doing here in these two chapters wasn't just that Paul felt like, I'm going to defend myself, I'm not going to let them talk about me this way. No, he had to say these things. He had to. For the sake of true believers at Corinth, he had to speak up. for the sake of the gospel of Christ continuing amongst them, he had to commend himself. And for the sake of the glory of Christ, he had to commend himself. And also he had to do it so that he wouldn't give credit to those false preachers and make people think that they were true preachers. It was necessary that he had to say these things that he said here. The sad thing is, and you know this broke Paul's heart, he had to do it himself. He had to commend himself. Because he didn't have us. This church was totally, the only reason they were there was because of Paul. Because the Lord sent Paul there and told him to stay there and preach the gospel. And he stayed there a year and 6 months and preached the gospel. And Christ saved many of them. And yet they wouldn't commend their pastor. Now lastly, I want you to see this. Christ makes his messenger commendable by his sovereign, irresistible grace. Now, it's not, we shouldn't just commend every preacher just because he holds the office of a preacher. You know that. There's a lot of preachers out there that don't have reason to be commended. But Paul said there, I ought to have been commended of you for, because. And he gives the reasons why they ought to have commended him. And all of these reasons that he gave here were of Christ. It was Christ who made this true. He said, in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Now, Christ our Redeemer is our risen head. When he finished shedding his blood and accomplished the redemption of all God's elect, he arose to the right hand of the Father, and our risen head is sovereign as a man. He was sovereign over all as God, but now as the God-man, he's sovereign over all. There's a man who is God, seated at God's right hand, who has all power and all authority in heaven and in earth over all things. That's Christ. And Christ made Paul commendable, first of all, we see here, by turning him from false humility. Look there in verse 11. He said, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles. Now, Paul here is not boasting. He's just spent two chapters telling us that he had nothing in which to glory in, that he was what he was by the grace and power of our Lord Jesus Christ. He just spent two chapters giving Christ all the glory for making him what he is. But he said here, because of what Christ had done for him, he could say here, in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles. But now, if he would have denied that, if he would have acted like, oh, well, I'm not much of an apostle or whatever, that would have been false humility. And false humility is nothing but pride, brethren. If God's given you a talent, and you're talented at something, and somebody is commending you for your talent, there's nothing wrong with acknowledging that you've got a talent. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you give God the glory for as the one who gave it to you. Paul is acknowledging he had all the talents of an apostle, but he's also acknowledging that Christ is the one that gave them to him. I know he does it right here in this particular verse, but I don't have to go back and show you through the whole letter. He constantly is doing that, constantly. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me, constantly doing that. And that's what he's, in the context, that's what he's doing here. So, you know, to say you don't have a talent when you do have a talent, it's obvious you do have a talent, and to try to act like you don't, and hem-haw, and blah, 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 that's just false humility. That's really just self-righteous pride. Some refuse to say that the sinner, having an inner man within the believer now that's created in righteousness and holiness after God, some refuse to say that. Some refuse to say that. And instead, they say all we are is sin. Well, indeed, Paul did say in Romans 7, in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But the reason the Spirit of God made Paul qualify that he's speaking about in his flesh, in that part of him that was of Adam, there's no good thing, is because Christ created that new man within him. And everything God creates is good. Tell me one thing God ever created that's not good. And the new man within a believer is created of God in righteousness and holiness, true holiness after God, and is good, without sin. We're not glorying in ourselves. We confess that in our flesh, in that part of us that's born of Adam's corrupt seed, there is absolutely nothing good. God doesn't use that old man. He doesn't change that old man. That old man's going back to the dust. And yet that old man's a part of us. It's the new man in which we worship God. And we must exalt Christ. We must exalt Christ. He shed his blood to fulfill God's promise of creating in his people a new man, just like he promised he would. And he creates that new man in his righteousness and in his holiness after the image of God. And to deny that, brethren, is to deny Christ's work. And to say that all we are is flesh, if that was the case, we couldn't have any communion with God. False humility is self-righteous pride, brethren. And see how it applies to this work of grace God's done in our heart as well. But while acknowledging what Christ had made him, Paul acknowledged too that in himself he's nothing. And that was of Christ. A man can't say he is nothing and mean it and it be true in his heart, and God know it's true in his heart unless God gave him that heart. And he being an apostle of Christ. Now let me ask you these questions. We think of these apostles. Now being an apostle of Christ, Paul says, I'm nothing. Does that mean that Paul couldn't stand against temptation better than you and me? He couldn't stand against temptation any better than you and me, apart from Christ being his strength. No way. Paul being an apostle here, he says, I'm nothing. Does that mean that Paul couldn't pray better than you and me can pray? Unless Christ gave him the spirit of grace and supplication, he could not pray at all, just like you and I couldn't. See, he says, I'm nothing. When Paul said in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing, he meant, I am nothing. And if you want to attain to something, if any of us want to attain to something, attain to learning that we're nothing. Because the man that God has taught he's nothing, that man has attained to something that's of infinite value. The man that can say, Christ came into the world to save sinners of whom I am chief. And mean it. Now that's not false humility. That's true humility given by God. To know I'm the least of all the apostles. I'm the least of all the saints. Christ commands us, Lazarus's, and says, come forth, and with the command comes the power. Christ commands us to stretch forth our withered hand, and with the command comes the power. And everything that we're made is by Christ commanding it. That's how he makes us to be what we are. So don't worry about, I'm worried I'm going to puff up the preacher. Christ is able to keep him humble. Christ is able. And then look, Christ made Paul patiently endure suffering. Verse 12, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience. Christ made all his apostles suffer more than any of his ministers ever suffered in later times. And they patiently, Paul, it was by Christ's strength that Paul patiently bore all those infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. Had Christ not made him an apostle and sent him, had Christ not been with him and working in him, had Christ not given him a desire to see God receive all the glory and salvation, had Christ not given him a heart for God's elect people, then Paul would have never endured those sufferings and patiently endured them. he would have never lasted. He would have turned from them and altered his message so that he wouldn't suffer any persecution. He knew what he had to do if he didn't want to suffer persecution. He told the Galatians, he said, they preach circumcision only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. He knew all he had to do was just preach, you need to do one thing, and people would quit persecuting him. But by God's grace, by Christ making him what he was, he patiently endured all those persecutions for the glory of Christ. See, that's Christ's work. That's Christ's work. And today, Christ's ministers don't endure nearly what Paul endured. But I tell you, the one thing that'll keep Christ's ministers faithful to preach Christ and him crucified when all the rest of this world is preaching another Jesus that's not another, the only thing that'll keep Christ's preachers doing that is Christ himself. The only way. And then look at this. Christ confirmed Paul to be an apostle by making Paul work signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Now, Christ gave only his apostles the ability to work supernatural miracles. Miracles such as raising the dead, healing the sick, cleansing lepers, casting out devils, speaking in different tongues, that is, languages they had never learned, and so on. Only apostles could do that. Only apostles. If any other man was given the ability to do any of that, it was by the apostles laying his hands on them and giving them that ability. But Christ only did that with them because they're writing the scriptures, they're writing the New Testament scriptures, and they're establishing the early church. But when that was finished and that was done, when the last apostle died, those gifts died out with them. So no man today has those gifts. But I tell you what we do have today. We have the miracle of grace that Christ still works in his people through the preaching of the gospel, which all those miracles typified. Let me give you some of them here. By Christ, by the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel, sinners who are spiritually dead are raised from the dead. I can stand here and say, Christ has used me to raise some men from the dead. Not physical death, but even a greater miracle of grace is to raise men from the spiritual death, dead in trespasses and sins, and give them life. Christ is using his minister to heal sinners who are sick of the worst sickness you can have. It's the sickness of pride and self-righteousness, of looking to your will and your works and thinking that's how you're going to be saved. And Christ, the great physician, comes and he heals sinners of that sickness by turning us from ourselves to Christ, to rest in him. Spiritual lepers, totally unable to cleanse ourselves of our sins and our unrighteousness, are brought to Christ by God the Father drawing us to him. And we're made to come and confess our sins to him. And he's faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins and of all unrighteousness through his blood. And then we're all, when we're dead in our sins, we're all like that demoniac of Gadara. He lived among the dead. He lived out in the cemetery, among the tombs, among the dead. That's all we did when we were dead in our sins. We lived among the dead. And he had chains put on him, and men had tried to tame him with chains, and they couldn't tame him. And some of us had the chains of men's legal bondage put on us, and that couldn't tame us. But Christ came. And Christ cast the devils out of that man. And Christ came to you and me through the preaching of the word, and he bound the strong man, and he entered in and spoiled his goods. And when Christ got through with us, we were just like that demoniac of Gadara. We were seated at Christ's feet and in our right mind. That's what Christ does. And he is the only one who can make us speak this new language. The language of the gospel of his grace. The language that gives him all the glory and gives us none. The language of grace and love. This is the new language. The language of heavenly Jerusalem. The language of God's Israel that he teaches his people. These are miracles of grace that all those physical miracles pictured. Somehow we think those physical miracles are so great and like, you know, so much better. But I'm telling you, brethren, the miracle of a sinner being brought to believe on Christ and put all his confidence in Christ is a far greater miracle than any of those things were. Now, so I want you to go home remembering this. Here's our point now. What we saw here in looking at Paul and looking at how Christ made him this way, here's what I want you to remember. The man who's able to preach and give Christ all the glory and give man none. The man whose life he's taken up in his life with honoring God and honoring his Father and doing what's good for the brethren. And the man who, after all these miracles of grace are worked, can say this: not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. That man has been made commendable by Christ. He preaches Christ faithfully. He lives to the honor of Christ. He lives for the good of his brethren. He sees God work these miracles of grace in the hearts of his people. And in all of this, he says, I'm not sufficient of myself to think anything of myself. All my sufficiency is of Christ. That man has been made worthy of commendation by the Lord Jesus Christ. And what Paul is teaching us here, what the Lord is teaching us through Paul here, is it's needful that we commend the commendable. It's needful that we commend faithful ministers and faithful brethren, especially when somebody is slandering them. It's needful we commend them, and it's needful for the good of the church, for the good of brethren. It's needful for the gospel's sake, so that the gospel of Christ continues to be preached among us. And it's needful for the glory of Christ. And it's needful so that whatever false preacher or false brethren is slandering and trying to work their way in and divide the brethren, so that they're not given a foothold. Because if they are, the gospel will stop being preached. The glory of Christ will cease to, it won't be all about his glory anymore. It'll be about the glory of men. So this is needful, brethren. It's very needful. And if Christ has made them commendable, if he made a man commendable, then always be commending the commendable. That's what he's teaching us here. Paul said this, but Christ is saying, Paul ought to have been commended by you. So let's hear Christ say that to us. Our faithful pastors and faithful brethren, they ought to be commended by us. Amen. Um.